Hello, this is Ben Heckendorn.
This is Jones.
And currently it is 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning, and we are out looking to find a Wii. Dale Nortz is with us, too.
Hi.
Now, we've been ripping on it for a long time, so we're going to go buy one.
But
we just stopped at Target, and there are too many people in line. So we cannot get one at Target. It was the first store to open, so I don't know. We'll just see what we can do. Where are we going next, Jones?
Oh, we're just going to drive past Circuit City and see if there's a bunch of fools lined up out there, too. Are there?
There are not.
There's nobody
lined
up.
There are no fools lined up in front of Circuit City. See, I think everybody went to Target because that's the first place to buy.
Our Target, by the way, is getting 111 units.
Yeah,
that's true. That was a lot of the Starbucks crowd at in front of Target. Yeah. So
it was nice though that dude told us that the
It saved us time.
Tickets were all soaked up. So
well, we're back. We just checked the ghetto Walmart. Yes, it's just, you know, kind of a, yeah, it's not as, what's the word?
It's not as nice as your typical Walmart, which should tell you something.
Yeah, it's just kind of dirty and stuff.
Yeah, like they only, it's kind of like those people that only bathe like once a week.
Yeah. Anyway, so, and they were out of Wii's too, so I guess we have underestimated the
drawing power.
Yeah, the hype machine. So now we're going to head to Shopko, which actually sells game systems. We're hoping people have forgotten. We've been planning this Wii podcast for about a month now.
Oh, no. It's like 2 to 3 weeks.
Well, I mean, it's been a while. It's not like we just thought of it yesterday. How about that?
We planted this seed.
You still didn't jump in line.
Hell no. It don't mean that much to us.
Right.
Although, we'll have to think of an alternate podcast if we can't find one.
We can talk about how we failed to find a Wii.
Yep. Well, we just got skunked at Shopko, though. There's only a few people in line, so we probably got barely skunked.
Yep. Because we could smell.
Yeah, like everybody walking out had a Wii.
Yes.
And
so we missed it by 5 minutes.
You know, we could wait until like Wednesday until there's all the returns from people that can't figure out the sensor bar.
That's true.
Oh, gosh. This is so ridiculous. I could have been sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I could have been doing something much more productive with my time. I could be playing my 360.
Is this the first time you've ever attempted to buy a console at launch, like, on the day, Jones?
I bought a Dreamcast on launch.
Oh, yeah. And I bought a Game Boy Advance on launch, but it wasn't like this.
And that was before video gaming was, like, into the mainstream.
Oh, God. That could be a whole topic right there. That's ridiculous. The mainstream.
Wait, I was able to walk into Best Buy after work and just buy a Dreamcast and all the shit that I wanted to buy.
I know, but the Dreamcast wasn't hyped up like the Wii.
Is the Wii really all that hyped up?
I think it is.
Like, other than on the internet, though?
The internet's pretty big.
And you gotta remember, the internet wasn't that large in 99 yet.
It kind of existed, though.
It existed, but it wasn't anything like today where you got people blogging and
I suppose
all
that's
this
true.
Other garbage that people do.
Yeah.
Podcasts.
True.
Those idiots.
Okay, we're still driving around trying to find a place that has a Wii.
Too small.
I will go.
Okay.
Check it out.
Okay, let me swing.
We're now checking Sears. Most of us forgot they have video game systems, but they do actually. The line in front of Toys R Us was not that bad.
No, it was
11.
Wow.
Oh, God. We could, like, I don't know, Toys R Us, we could at least, like, ask. Although I just feel so dirty asking about it. You know? Log entry. Number 5. We are low on bullets.
Yeah.
We stopped at the line for Toys R Us. It wasn't very long, but the guy said that they all had tickets, so we probably would be SOL. Of course, he didn't have a ticket, and he just told us that.
Maybe he was lying.
Which is cool.
So we're going to go to... He kind of looked like Sean Astin. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
He was like, Mr. Frodo, I will buy you a Wii.
He was a little Samwise.
Yep. And all the people are still in front of Best Buy.
Yeah, the raging barbarian hordes. Or Weeberry.
Well, if anything, Jones, maybe this could be our podcast, although it's kind of boring.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, wow, thanks. I get to relive my, you know, the listeners will be like, I get to relive my failed chances of buying a Wii on Sunday morning.
You know, I'm already nostalgic about that.
You know what we should have done? After that guy, he's like, they have some at CompUSA and there's no lines. Like, thanks, now that information will die with you!
If I were a Wii, where would I be?
No. If you were a Wii fan, where wouldn't you be? That's what we have to figure out. We got a couple prospects, although they don't open till 11 a.m. Sears and CompUSA.
For all of you not listening at live out there.
We're here in Times Square where the ball is about to drop on Pat Sajak's head.
I can only hope.
All right. So the thing is, we're trying to think of places. Since we've created a target demographic of people waiting for Wii's on Sunday morning. It involves facial hair, the color black, and probably cappuccino. So we're trying to figure out where they wouldn't be. And we're still working on that. We'll get back to you. Bye. And I'm thinking...
Ben is pretty torn.
My vote is for CompUSA because there's only one entrance. Sears has three entrances.
Wait, you gotta give him time to laugh over that statement.
I can just edit in a pause.
Oh, okay.
My vote is for CompUSA because it only has one entrance. And Sears has three exterior entrances plus the inside one of the mall. So who knows where the line is. And there's only three of us. So we could miss an entrance. And, you know, I sound like a hostage negotiator or something here, but I don't know.
We could maybe see if Dave is awake and recruit him and cover all four entrances.
Yeah, left side here. Over. Got anything on your side? Negative.
Dirty.
So I guess we'll come back and we'll see how we're doing at either CompUSA or Sears. I just find it ironic and frustrating. I mean, I suppose those of you out there that have not agreed with us for so long about the Wii probably find this a delicious cruelty.
But you know what? At least we have the guts to put it out there and show that we went to these lengths and everything else.
Yes,
we're saying, hey, look, maybe we were wrong about the launch, but we're going to be right about the war.
I don't think we were wrong about the launch.
Yeah, we said it was going to be big at launch, yeah. But, you know, that's fine. Humble pie is always good served cold.
That's poetry, that is.
Come on!
Remember, we grew up where NASCAR was, you know, the number one word spoken.
It's like, hey, Alan Sir Jr. is going to have to eat some humble pie after this race. Oh, I agree with you, Bob. All right, it is now, what is it, 11?
Yeah.
It's now 11 o'clock. We're a bunch of waiting outside Sears. We were in good position. We could have got one. But only to find out they didn't sell them. Lame.
Sears hasn't had video games in 3 years.
That's probably why we were able to get a good position in line, because they didn't have it. So,
but no, we weren't the only ones there.
Oh, yeah. Directly. Well, there wasn't a... Probably there about... Were, how many was there on your side?
There were probably about 20 people by the time.
15 or 20.
Yeah. The North Door would have been the best. This is so ridiculous. So we're going to check CompUSA, and if they don't have it, I think we're going to call it a day.
Yeah. Dishes are done. Hey, we'll go play the 360.
We tried. Yes. We just checked CompUSA. Apparently they don't have either at launch. They must have been all pre-sold. So I think we are officially skunked, eh, Jones?
I think so.
Yes. I guess even though we really wanted to buy one to test for the podcast, since we aren't actual fans of the system, we weren't willing to do the pre-order, wait outside, camp. We weren't
that committed.
We
just didn't want it enough.
One, two, three. We are the champions, my friend. Bum, bum, bum. And we'll keep on searching. Dun, dun, dun. We are the champions. We are the champions. No,
you're the loser.
Yeah, because we are the champions of of the world!
Yeah!
And for those of you still listening, here's the rest of the podcast.
Okay, we're back in Verona now, and with decent recording equipment.
Wheelless in Verona.
Starring Tom Hanks. Watch Tom Hanks fall in love with Meg Ryan all over again for the first time.
But we gave it the old college try. So.
Yeah, I mean, we put quite the effort into it.
Yeah. We'll have to listen to the audio to see how many places we stopped at, but it was quite a few.
Probably
so.
At least six or seven.
So
I think we underestimated the day one launch. We discussed... I bought a Game Boy Advance on the launch day, but that wasn't a big deal. And you bought a Dreamcast?
Yeah, that's the only thing I've ever bought on launch day, as far as a console.
We really don't have much experience with how to camp out and all this jazz. And
I wouldn't camp out even for a system I really wanted, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well... If we would have got to Shopko about 10 minutes earlier,
yeah, I think we would have.
If we would have thought of that first. We were all hung up on Target, but we realized that Target was just too, you know, close to the demographic of the Weeb customers.
Yeah, and it was just too obvious. You know, it's a big store.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Walmart was sold out.
Yeah,
I guess. Well, I mean, obviously they had a pretty good launch, but then you said they had about 1 million units today or something, which is less than I thought.
I thought I read somewhere that they said they were going to have 1 million at launch and then 4 million by the end of the year.
And for some dumb reason, I kept thinking 4 million at launch.
No, I know they didn't have that many.
So they sold that out, so they are like 1/15th of the way of matching the GameCube sales.
Yep. So. In one day.
So. Yes, not bad. I'm sure it launched better than the GameCube because it had more going for it or whatnot.
More of a media blitz behind it or whatever. So,
well, yeah, we've been ripping on it for a long time, and our big secret was to buy one and test it all day and podcast while we did it because we didn't think you'd expect us to actually do that, but we got skunked. And now we might be able to pick one. I'm sure they'll restock sometime this week, what with Black Friday coming up after Thanksgiving. But I don't know about you. I kind of lost the urge. I mean.
Yeah. Well, the thing that sucked, too, is in all the places we went to, we still could not find a Wii kiosk anywhere. Which was unfortunate because we really do want to play the thing, but we cannot
we're
find
interested.
One.
We want to be proven wrong, Nintendo.
So that was part of the reason why we were going to buy one, because then we could have the experience of setting it up ourselves and actually being able to spend a good amount of time with it and form an opinion.
I mean, even if I could just play it, that would be better, but I can't.
I can't even do that.
I don't know anyone that's buying one or would have one in the next week. We'll have to see, but when we went the last, we waited for like almost an hour at Sears, to find out they didn't have video games anymore. Although about 30 other people did too, and it was pretty clever. We had Jones and Dale on the north side of the store, and I was at the south side.
Yeah, so there's multiple entrances.
Get in there, and I actually beat them in, and I probably could have gotten one, but once we got to the counter, the lady said they weren't even selling game systems, so everyone was just assuming. It was kind of funny. The doors opened. People, I wouldn't call it almost a jog, but they were definitely speed walking, almost jogging. I could have, you know, outpaced them all because I'm such an enthusiast. But I'm like, you know what? There's a 60-year-old guy here jogging to get ahead of me in line, who is behind me, to get the Wii. And I'm like, you know what? I don't really want this thing other than testing purposes, so I'm going to walk and keep my dignity. So he ran up there to no avail. So... I just found that a little humorous. It's like, I'm sure he had like some grandson who was bawling his head off right now. So, you know what? Too bad.
It was an interesting experience. So, I think the last time I really got, you know, blanked on something was probably a few years ago, back before DVD was still really huge and I was trying to get some, you know, big new release or something. So, Yeah, I haven't had the experience of going from store to store trying to find something in quite a while. So, and we did see people coming out of Shopko with them in bags, so we knew we were close. But...
Yeah, we were. If we'd gone there first, we probably would have gotten one.
Yeah,
it's too bad because our plan was we were gonna have our non-gamer friend Dale.
Yeah,
we were gonna make him hook it up and get his opinion. He has kind of a, I don't know, what's the word for it?
Not technical.
Not that, but.
He watched the Wii demo disc, and he wasn't very impressed. Yep. Actually, he was kind of angry.
Yeah.
And he tends to, like, go out of his way to relish not gaming.
Yes.
I guess just to be different. You know, good for him, because I go out of my way to relish not being on MySpace.
Yes.
But anyway, we thought he was a perfect candidate to hook it up, and we were going to have him hook it up, and then we were going to play it. So that was our big plan, but we did. We failed. So.
And then your parents were coming down.
Yeah, my parents came over, and my sister was going to come over, and then Leticia was going to come over.
Yeah, so we were going to have kind of a motley crew of you know, people
different
from
people.
Different age groups, people that play games a lot, people that aren't interested in games to see what everybody thought. But the whole plan fell apart, so.
I was a little disappointed. I mean, I didn't really care. Obviously, I don't care about the Wii, getting one for myself, but I was disappointed that I couldn't do it for my podcast.
Yeah.
So and I wanted to take it apart. But anyway, so we were thinking about maybe trying to get one this week and saving the podcast for that. But the thing is, by that time, everyone's going to have an opinion about it. So we'll be, you know, a day late and a dollar short. So we decided to finish up this podcast and
then we'll see what we decide to do after
We'll see what happens when everyone gets it. We have some conspiracy theories about the Wii, personally. Like, you know, there's no playable kiosks.
Yeah.
I mean, we went to Best Buy the other day. They had an Xbox 360, PS3, and a Wii kiosk. The Wii kiosk just kind of sat there with the demo disc. The Wii wasn't even hooked up. You couldn't play it.
Yeah.
Because I had one person say, did you ask the Best Buy employee for a controller? And I'm like, no, the Wii wasn't even connected.
It wasn't even hooked up.
Yeah, there's just a screen. And so it just sat there, you know, idle, whereas the other two systems were being played. And, you know, since Jones and I think the Wii is kind of gimmicky, or looks gimmicky, we think that if people actually got a chance to play it, maybe they wouldn't be terribly impressed. But if they don't get a chance to play it, they'll buy it instead, and then find out it's not terribly impressive.
Yeah.
In theory, if it's not. I mean, maybe it is, but we think it could be a bit of a bait and switch.
Yeah.
Who
knows? It was interesting that we could find two PS3 kiosks.
Mm-hmm. The system that's supposed to be really scarce.
Yeah, in like three stores that we went to, and we could not find a playable Wii, but that's fine.
So Nintendo, if you want to try to reconvince two diehard unconvinced people, you haven't done a very good job yet. No kiosks, not enough systems. Come on. All right, well, we're just going to go with our other topics that we had planned for today's podcast. And maybe we'll talk about the Wii in 2 weeks from now when we have a chance to play one. I'm sure we will by then. Next, our other topics are Jones is going to give us his little mini review of Gears of War for the Xbox 360.
Yeah.
Yet another game in which Space Marines fight aliens.
Yes. And you even got to play it for a while today.
Yeah, we played it because we didn't have the Wii.
Yeah.
And I finally broke down. Okay, after all that Nintendo bashing we just did, I finally broke down and bought a DS.
No.
Although it was used because I bought a Game Boy in 1990, 1994, 1998, and 2001. I'm like, okay, I think Nintendo's got enough of my money. Plus, I've bought pretty much every Nintendo system before the GameCube. So I'm like, you know what, I'll buy a used DS, support the local economy.
Yeah.
Not Nintendo's. They're getting enough pure profit this weekend.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I'm going to, you know, do my review of the DS and why I bought it and how I feel about it.
You know, in the last month, you bought two used Nintendo systems.
Oh, yeah, I bought a Super Nintendo, which is like the third Super Nintendo I've owned. They keep getting turned into portables.
It's not the Smoker's Edition, though, so.
Thank God. Yeah, I mean, do they breathe directly on it? I mean... And our third topic is we're going to touch lightly on the issue of backwards compatibility. I don't quite understand what the big deal is. Jones is more about it because I've heard him complain about titles in the 360 not working.
Yeah.
And the PS3 appears to already have some trouble. But it's probably better off than the 360 because, you know what they say, 200 titles don't work in the PS3, but there's like 1,000 PS2 titles. So percentage-wise, it's got the Xbox 360 beat. So anyway, those are going to be our three topics. So I guess we'll start with Jones's take on Gears of War, the big Xbox 360 game.
Yeah, it's basically Microsoft's, I guess, salvo in the midst of all of this PS3 and Wii release stuff. That's
but it's been,
big
I mean, they talked
item.
About this like E3 2005. I mean, it's not like they just pulled it out of their butt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was like all hyped up before the 360 even came out, but... And I'm not a huge... I think the game's excellent. It's the graphics are gorgeous, and I'd love to see it on an HD set. We got to watch it on or play it on that the VGA monitor your adapter you made.
But that wasn't very big.
Yeah, but it looked really nice. Like, we were admiring how, like, rocks and things looked on it.
But you haven't mentioned the gameplay yet.
Oh, the gameplay is very cool, too. That's probably the biggest, well, I can't say innovation, because Nintendo patented innovation.
Oh, so, wait. We have to tell our listeners the term that Dale came up with the other day.
Oh, yes. Ninnovation. Nintendo's very own brand of innovation. It's kind of funny, actually, but most of you probably don't think so. So back to Gears of War.
Right.
Actually, the gameplay is very interesting because it's not a first-person shooter. It's like a third-person over-the-shoulder shooter. And, of course, you're a space marine fighting aliens, which to me is like the least interesting part of it all. That's probably like its only real knock for me, is the fact that you're fighting aliens, which
those aliens take a lot of shots to kill, it seemed like.
Yeah, they do, and that's only on casual difficulty. Wait till you get to hardcore or insane, it's probably
impossible. The other type, you know, there's two types of first-person shooters, you know, Space Marines fighting Nazis and Space Marines fighting aliens. Army Rangers fighting Nazis.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So,
but anyway, I'm sure the average Nazi in one of those games, you know, two or three bullets and they're done.
But it's
one headshot.
Yeah, so it's but yeah, the gameplay is really cool. It's really about cover, which is kind of an interesting concept because most games don't handle cover very well. I mean, like Perfect Dark Zero, they let you know back up against a wall and you can kind of like look around it and shoot, but it's not always really obvious what you can hide behind and what you can't.
Well, in Gears of War, you can pretty much
you can hide
behind anything that looks like you can hide behind it.
Yeah, which is great, because
and it's kind of part of the main game, whereas Perfect Dark, it's almost like this little mini game.
Go into third-person view when it happens on that. But yeah, it's a great thing, because I'm sure many of you have played these sorts of games before and been stuck out in no man's land thinking you could hide behind a barrel or a car or something and, oh, crap, I can't. Where in this, you can, and your guy, he'll be behind a barrier and you can either shoot around the side of it or over the top. You can blind fire. It's just a lot of really cool stuff. You can flop across the doorway, like how you see in the movies of the SWAT teams, how they go back and forth between the doorways. You can do all that. You can hide behind, like, chairs and stuff and burned-out buildings and things. I mean, it's really, really, really
well
done.
And destroy couches.
Yeah, with the chainsaw, which was awesome. Because your main weapon's, like, this machine gun that has a chainsaw in place of the bayonet on it, which is really wicked. So you can go around and mow down aliens, which is always a good time. But, yeah, I haven't actually been able to pass the game yet because I didn't get to play it much at all this week. Unfortunately, I would have liked to have passed it completely before talking too much about it, but I've played it a fair enough
amount. I'm sure
you got the general idea. Yeah, but I mean, gameplay-wise, I think it's kind of revolutionary in terms of the way it handles the cover dynamics, and it's really neat, too, that the game, it flows from one act to the next. There's five acts in the game, but like you get to kind of the end of an act, and there's a cinema sequence that leads right into the next area. So, you know, a lot of games, like Call of Duty 2, for example, you know, 1 minute you're fighting in Europe, and then all of a sudden you're down in Africa, and things like that. I mean, it connects the story really well, and you actually get a genuine, it's the first game in a long time, probably since, like, the first Resident Evil, where I actually almost got scared during certain parts of it when
really?
I was playing it, because, like, things would jump out.
Oh,
because there was this one part where there's this berserker thing that's just this enormous alien that you can't kill with your ordinary guns, and I'm going through this corridor, kind of this open area, I guess, and then I come around a corner, and all of a sudden, boom, this berserker thing comes through the doorway, and it's like, holy crap! You know, it just freaks you out, because you're not expecting it. And but it's a neat game, because for the most part, things you would logically think would work do, which isn't always the case in games, as far as, you know, like, oh, I can shoot those rocks and they'll fall down and land on this dude who's trying to shoot at me, because you can do that in certain sections. And But at the same time, it doesn't always do that, because one of my big problems with alien fighting games is I can't really connect to them. And the, you know, like if you're playing Call of Duty, it's like you're shooting at a Nazi. That's a human being. You
hit him in the head.
You know, hit him in the head, yeah. He's dead. Or with aliens, like in this game, you hit him in the head, they're not dead right away, usually. You gotta shoot him a few times still, and and then there's, you know, certain creatures where it's like, okay, how do I kill this thing? You know, I've shot it 8 billion times, and it's not dead yet. And so, that's just kind of my beef with alien fighting games in general, which is probably one of the reasons why I didn't get into Halo as much as a lot of people did, but I actually like this game better than Halo.
Well,
myself.
The aliens in Gears of War, from what I've seen, are somewhat human-like. You know, they're bipedal
so.
And whatnot.
Yeah. And the co-op mode's really cool, too, which is
yeah, we were
a
playing
nice
that
feature.
Earlier. I mean, it was smooth, too. I mean, it you didn't. I didn't even really notice a frame rate difference.
Yeah, it holds up really well, so it really shows off, I think, what the 360 is capable of as far as, you know, now they're getting to game, you know, it's been out for a year, and so the developers are really getting familiar with it and really starting to push it, so it'd be cool to see what comes from here, but I don't know, I guess out of 5 stars, I'd probably give it a 4.5 if I had
that sounds pretty
give
good.
It a rating, so.
Well, you said of games you've played recently, you like it better than pretty much anything except for Oblivion, didn't you say?
Yeah, for the 360, I'd still think I'd take like Oblivion and then Test Drive Unlimited over it, just because I think they're deeper games. Like me, I'm not a super big first-person shooter junkie, and I mean, this is fall, even though it's third-person, it still falls in the same boat, you know, and
well, it's third-person, but I mean, for all intents and purposes, it controlled.
Yeah, it controls
like a
first-person
shooter,
yeah.
Because your guys, the way your guys on the screen, it's kind of, it's pretty much exactly like Resident Evil, except for it's a little further back. You can, you know, see
your
most
guy's shoulder,
of his body,
and,
yeah,
yeah, his back and stuff.
Resident Evil 4 was pretty much his head and shoulders, I think it was, but
then it does a really cool thing, like when you sight in on somebody, it'll like zoom in on the side of your guy, so it's almost like you're sighting in, and you can see like the detail on his face and his shoulder and everything really close. And
well, it was neat how it had like you can see the trajectory of your grenades, you know, how, where they're gonna land and where they're gonna arc, and that one explosive rifle crossbow thing I had at the same
thing.
Yeah,
that was sweet.
That was pretty neat. I mean, I was able to get the controls down pat pretty quickly.
Yeah,
it's basically like a FPS.
Yeah, you can tell they really thought it out really well when they worked on it. So
it's a little muddy looking. I mean,
it's very dingy, and there's not a lot of color in it.
So there's no Lego factory scenes yet, huh?
No. Unfortunately. There is some cool stuff, like in one of the levels, you're actually in, like, you and your other guys end up in mining cars, kind of like Indiana Jones going down through this area, and there's locust horde guys trying to kill you and all that. And so and then there's like a driving sequence in it at one point. So it has, you know, varied amounts of gameplay, and there's different dynamics to it, whether you're playing during the daytime or at night. And it's pretty cool. I mean, if you've got a 360, there's really no reason not to buy this game. I mean,
yeah, it looked pretty cool.
You're not going to be disappointed unless you just hate first-person shooter type games. So.
Yeah, yeah. I guess, too bad it wasn't a little more. I mean, the graphics are good, but it's too bad it wasn't more colorful and stuff.
Yeah.
I know that sounds silly, but you look at most of the, you know, endless World War II games. I mean, yeah, there's tanks and destruction all around, but
they're pretty
other
colorful
than that, it's, you know, Europe. It looks pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, there's still, like, water and
that's part of the problem with this game is, like, kind of the basis of it is these locust horde things came to this planet, because I don't even think it's supposed to be Earth, but they came
it's
to this
Cobol.
Yeah, they came to this planet and kind of started to take over, and so the way the human characters fought back is they actually basically destroyed their planet, and, you know, I think they basically say that they use nuclear weapons, and so that's why everything, there isn't any color, because everything's just dead, kind of, is the idea behind it, but I agree that, like, I think Halo 3 is probably graphically going to be very similar in terms of quality, but I bet it'll have more color to it.
I bet it'll look better. Yeah. I know it's a style choice, but, yeah.
Oh, I can totally understand it, though.
Okay, would you have any closing things to say about that title?
No, I mean, I think it just brings a lot to the table in terms of it's, you know, not your typical first-person shooter. It, you know, it adds the elements of cover mm-hmm. really becoming an important factor in the game.
Do you think it's going to sell Xbox 360s?
I think so. I don't see why not. Actually, it was funny the day I went to buy it. There was a guy right in front of me, and he was buying a premium Xbox 360 system, and Gears of War was the game that he was buying, so that kind of
had he
told
even
me
played
right there.
It yet, I wonder?
I don't know, because it was at Circuit City, and they didn't have a kiosk with... They had a kiosk there, but it didn't have Gears of War on it, so I don't know if he did or not, but...
Yeah, because, I don't know. In my experience, there's always, like, an app. I'll never buy a system until there's a game I want.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Nintendo, okay, there's none, but Genesis, it was Sonic the Hedgehog. Super Nintendo, it was Star Fox. Nintendo 64, it was GoldenEye, of course.
Yes.
PS1, it was Castlevania Symphony of the Night. PS2, it was Grand Theft Auto. There's always, and the DS we're about to get to is more Castlevania, but
yeah.
I don't know. I usually had to play some game that's like, I need this system,
mm-hmm.
which is, I think, yeah. you know, I don't know if any console really has that yet. I mean... Twilight Princess is, you know, supposed to be really good, but...
Yeah, like how I said, you know, I'm like, if you have a 360, you should
right.
buy it.
Right.
I'm not saying... Like, I don't think it's the sort of game that will...
It's not the next GoldenEye.
It wouldn't make me go out and buy the system just for it. It'd really make me strongly consider it mm-hmm. in conjunction with one or two other
right.
awesome games, like Oblivion and
yeah.
Test Drive. I'd be like, okay, yeah. But I think mm-hmm. for... kind of the common gamer out there, you know, the people that would just go and buy the system because it's got Grand Theft Auto on
yeah.
it, I think it could definitely move units in the same way that, like, Halo does.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
Interesting to see how it goes, but yeah. I know it's getting heavily played on Xbox Live.
I mean, yeah, topped Halo 2, finally.
Yeah.
I would hope an Xbox One game would finally fall. All right, well, I suppose we should move on to our next topic. Next topic is I'm going to talk about the Nintendo DS. When it first came out about 2 years ago, I thought it was a big piece of crap. And I'll give you a few seconds to laugh at me and say, wait 2 more years of the Wii. Okay, there you go.
I remember when it came out, the big concern I had was durability, but it seems like it's held up.
You mean versus a PDA screen? Or
yeah.
just, like, the viability? No, you mean...
Like, durability-wise, because it has the two screens, you know, and the
yeah.
flipping thing and all that. It just seemed kind of cheap to me, like, when I first played one. Where the one you got now, the Lite, seems much better constructed, I think. But
really? Because I thought the original one was a lot meatier.
Really?
I just think it had a stupid design.
That... might have
kind of looked like
it
was melted or something.
Yeah.
yeah. But I mean, I think if anything, the light is, well, it's lighter for one thing, but...
I just remembered thinking it was, you know, the screens. I'm like, oh, kids are going to beat those up, and, you know, that's an automatic way Nintendo can just sell more of them because...
Yeah, I think it's funny that Nintendo fanboys, you know, they harp on, you know, 100 million Game Boys have been sold, and they say that, like, it's concrete proof of Nintendo's dominance. And then when they come to the fact of 100 million PS2s being sold, they say it's because PS2s break. You know what I mean? And yes, PS2s break.
Yeah.
But so do Game
Boys.
And there's been so many. That's 100 million Game Boys since 1989.
Yeah.
And that's not as impressive as 100 million systems since 2000. And that was kind of a tangent there, but.
That's okay. It's your podcast.
Yeah,
you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Hey, we spent half the day looking for a Wii. We can rip on Nintendo for a while.
That's right.
Even though, you know, I'm about to talk about the DS. Okay, I guess I better get onto that. Okay, so anyway, as everyone knows, if you listen to my last podcast especially, I love Castlevania games. Symphony of the Night, I guess, is probably one of my favorite games ever, if not my favorite. So everybody's always looking for the Symphony of the Night 2, you know? Kind of like we all want, like, a... Empire Strikes Back 2,
yeah.
or a Wrath of Khan 2. And I was really excited when the Game Boy Advance came out in 2001 because there was going to be Castlevania Circle of the Moon for it. And I bought that on launch day. I went to Walmart on my lunch break and had no trouble getting one except for, of course, the employee was too busy not helping me to help me. It wasn't like there was a line or anything. Anyway, so... but it was non-backlit and... there was a certain boss, and you couldn't even see the projectiles or whatnot, and I could never get through it.
Wow.
I tried. I mean, that whole summer, I would always take that wherever I went and, you know, try to beat it. Sooner than, I think, Harmony of Dissonance came out, which was a Game Boy Advance Castlevania of 2002. I bought that, tried to play through it, only got so far, and it was a lot better to see. You could obviously tell they were addressing the non-backlit Game Boy graphics because the SP hadn't come out yet. That didn't come out until 2003. But I still really couldn't play it very long because it just was inconvenient to play a non-lit Game Boy.
I'm surprised you didn't make your own screen for it to...
Well, they had that Afterburner thing. You ever see that? You take apart the Game Boy Advance, the old one. You peel the backing off the LCD or something, then you can put like LEDs in, and then you put like this front light projection crap. It's basically how a PDA works.
Yeah.
But it's apparently difficult to do. I thought about getting one of those, but I don't... See, the thing is, I like to build portables, but if I buy a portable from like a company, I just expect it to work. Yeah, exactly. That sounds like it undermined everything I stood for. I don't think it's that reason.
Really.
There's no reason the Game Boy Advance couldn't have been backlit, because PDAs had had backlighting for a couple of years by then. No excuse for it. It might have cost more money, but...
It would have been a better gaming experience.
Well, because Nintendo knew everyone would buy that, then they buy the SP, then they buy the DS. So anyway, yeah, the SP came out. I thought it was cool, but I didn't buy it, even though I wanted to, you know, play Castlevania, 2D Castlevania games. Then the DS came out, and I'm like, what is this thing? I just thought it was a big gimmick, because there's really no games for it. But then they had, I played Castlevania, what was it called?
The Portrait of Ruin?
No, Dawn of Sorrow is the one that came out for the DS. And I played it for about half an hour, and it used the dual screens, which I guess was kind of cool. You could see your weapons at the top. Not terribly useful. But when I was playing it, I'm like, you know what, this is the closest to, I mean, you know, Harmony Dissonance is all right, but it's kind of Game Boy-ish. Well, cartridge-ish, I guess.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was playing the Dawn of Sorrow. I'm like, you know, this is the closest to Symphony of the Night that I've seen yet. And I'm like, I think I need to get one of these DSs because, you know, they're not that much money.
Yeah, they're pretty cheap.
Right. And then what I decided to do was I would order. They had an awesome pre-order for Portrait of Ruin. It comes out, I think, mid-December. You can get, like, the soundtrack, art book, all this crap. You order from Konami. It's the same price, $34.95. So I ordered that, so I'd buy a DS. Then we saw one used last week, and I'm like, I'm going to get this.
Yeah.
So now after all that, I'll get to my review. Yes. It's definitely one of the better Game Boys I've ever played. Probably the best Game Boy-type device. The screen is really bright. It doesn't look... The original SP kind of had the front lighting thing, where it's kind of hard to explain. It doesn't... It was kind of like the light was bounced off the back of the screen rather than backlit.
Okay.
I mean, it looked good, but doesn't look nearly as good as the DS Lite. And
yeah, it looks really sharp.
Yeah, the DS, it's the regular one looked pretty good, but not as good. And I know technology advances all the time, but I still think Nintendo could probably do a little better than the first versions of the stuff they always make. Because
Look at like the PSP screen. I mean, granted, it's a more expensive system, but the screen
off the bat, it looks awesome.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
And that's been out for what?
Almost as long as the DS.
Couple years.
I think it was like spring of 2005.
Okay, so it's
Only about 4 months newer than the DS. And yeah, the screen was.
Yeah.
It's got a really nice screen on that, but I would say the DS screens look just as good. They're not as big, but
for the DS Lite.
The DS Lite, right. And it has built-in stereo speakers, which is pretty cool. Gosh, I don't know. It's just a really nice system. It's colored white, at least mine is, and I'm kind of tired of things being white. Thanks, Apple. But, I don't know, I'm playing it a lot. I'm trying to finish off Harmony of Dissonance. It's a lot more enjoyable, because I can play it, you know, when it's not, when I don't have 10 lamps going. And, I'm really looking forward to Portrait of Ruin, because from what it sounds like, it's going to be like the end-all, be-all Castlevania game, or pretty good, like, co-op online, or Wi-Fi connection. Yeah. You can sell items to people online, and sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
They actually aren't inside of a castle. It takes place during World War II.
Oh, cool.
So there's an example. Castlevania, 2D Castlevania is like the app for which I would buy a system. And for me, I mean, I'm more interested in that than like getting the 360 at the moment.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, Castlevania rocks, so.
Yeah, and with and also with the DS, you know, it's obviously a successful system. It's like been the top-selling system, like, pretty much since the Lite came out. So, you know, it's established. You know, there's going to be games for it for a while, even though it's like 2 years old. So, I think it's worthwhile. The Wii, for instance, I don't know. I know a couple other people in the Sonic Boom podcast that are talking about getting a DS instead of a Wii. And yeah. I'm like, why not? Because let the Wii prove itself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it's going to become a success, then you know it's worth getting. And otherwise, it could be the Virtual Boy. Remember the Virtual Boy? It came out summer of 95, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And, like, by that fall, they're offloading them at stores for, like, $25. And they started at $175. I mean, I'm just saying, something. It is conceivable for somebody to crash and burn that quickly.
Yeah.
I'm sure the Wii, obviously the Wii would be more successful than that, but I'm just saying, you want to see a system.
Time will tell.
You want to see a system, like, be successful before you get into it too much.
Yeah, I know one of your forum members asked me about portables one time, and I've only owned one in my life, and that was the original Game Boy, and I sold it after, I don't even know if I had it a year, but I sold it, but...
They had the screen or what?
It was just, like, the only game I ever really enjoyed on it was Tetris. But, I mean, mm-hmm. that was back in the old, green screen, two-color days or whatever, different shades.
Four colors.
Gray or whatever the heck it was. But, you had dark, light...
Light,
medium,
dark.
Light, dark, and clear or whatever the heck it was, but...
Well, yeah, it was an 8-bit system, so,
I mean, it wasn't, not knocking it or anything, but... I have never bought another portable since because I don't really have a lot of opportunity to play portables. But I did say between the PSP and the DS that I would just, knee jerk reaction would be to buy a DS. I think Nintendo's mm-hmm. games lend themselves a lot better to
the portability.
Portable oh,
that play. Is that is one thing though about the DS that I noticed. Maybe there's a way to set it up, but I haven't found it as yet. The PSP, you push the power button while you're playing, and it will pause. It'll go to, like, a sleep mode, kind of like a laptop can.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And when you push the button again, it'll spin up. It takes about 2 seconds, and then you're right where you left off. Whereas the DS, you turn it off, and you've got to reload, blah, blah, blah. That is one thing I noticed the PSP has above it. But maybe the DS has that feature, and I just don't know how to enable it.
Maybe you'd somebody think it, will email you and tell you.
Right, you'd think the light would, since it's, like, came out a year after the PSP, and... It is conceivable that Nintendo would copy someone else.
No. Remember, Sony stole Microsoft's Time Machine and went ahead in time and all that, and actually took the idea from Nintendo and then went back and put it on the PSP. So.
Oh, we saw the... So that's probably all I have to say about the DS. It's a pretty cool system. It's probably one of the better portables I've come across other than the Atari Lynx. Maybe it's even better than that. I don't know. I'll have to put up a review of Castlevania Portrait of Ruin when it comes out in a few weeks.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. Well, I like a portable because I can, just play it anywhere.
Yeah.
I find that nice.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Like, I think if I traveled more for work and stuff, I would definitely buy one, but I just...
When you were even here, like last night, I was playing it out on the deck while smoking a cigar. And then I was, you know what I mean?
And if you have to go to the can, you can take it with you if you wanted, whatever.
Oh, yeah, why not?
Got the option, so.
All right, so, I think it's
I don't
cool
think we'd be the only ones that would have that thought, so.
No. So anyway, the DS is a pretty cool system. I think if you got someone on your list who likes kind of alternative, non-Gears of War gaming, I think a better and cheaper alternative to the Wii is a DS.
Oh, yeah.
As far as, what to get them. And you'll probably have a lot easier time finding one.
Well, and you can play all sorts of games because you can play your Game Boy Advance games on it and, DS, DS Lite games, all that. So there's a pretty good-sized catalog of stuff to dig into. So.
And as far as it versus the PSP, I don't think... The PSP obviously has... Well, allegedly it has better graphics, but I really don't think they're that much better. I don't think it's graphics that matter. It's games that matter.
Oh, yeah.
And
definitely.
The PSP doesn't have much. I mean, there's nothing on the PSP that interests me. I love Grand Theft Auto, but I wouldn't want to play it on the PSP. I've played it before. It's not that great.
Well,
the controls.
Well, when Luminous Live came out on the 360's Xbox Live Arcade, I was out looking around for Luminous stuff, and... I was looking in forums, and most of the people that had played Luminous before, had played it on the PSP, of course, and I saw so many posts where the people said that that was the only game worth owning a PSP for.
And that was a launch title.
Yeah, it's that's pretty bad. I mean, Luminous
it's
is a cool game,
it's a puzzle game,
and it's if that's the best it's got going for it, that's not very good, so...
Yeah, I mean, so I don't think graphics matter either, but... good games matter.
Yeah.
And that's why the DS was successful, and that's why the GameCube wasn't, because it didn't have enough good games.
Yeah.
So I think, again, getting back to the Wii briefly, if they get the software support...
Yeah, it could be cool.
Well, their graphics are fairly... They're a lot further behind the curve than the DS is or the PSP. But it's all about software support, and I think PS3, I don't... Yeah, they're losing exclusives, but it's not like EA is completely, like, shut the door on Sony, so we'll have to see. All right, so that's what we had to say about that. Our final topic, which, you know, we'll try to keep fairly short here. We're trying to give you a nice, reasonably length podcast here, you know, because I know a lot of you want to get back to your Wii playing. But tell us your experiences. Join in our forums. We're open-minded, even though we don't like it.
That's right. Well, we're still looking to play one. So.
We want to play one. Hey, if you live in the Madison area, bring it over.
Exactly, yeah.
We have some beer left.
Yeah, we have beer, soda, whatever.
Yeah,
we can get pizza. Drank
you know, I like beer, but I usually never drink before like 9 at night. I actually cracked one before noon today because the experience of looking for that Wii just took it out of me.
Took a piece out of Ben. Yeah. So.
Anyway, our last topic, which also has to do with consoles, is backwards compatibility.
Yeah.
Now this is the big hoop-de-loo these days. Xbox 360 uses some sort of emulation. The PS3. Shoved in a bunch of the old hardware of the previous systems into it to allow backwards compatibility, much like the PS2 and the Genesis did. The Genesis using the Master System's main processor as its sound chip. And the Wii can play GameCube disc, which is kind of cool. I can put GameCube disc into the 5-inch slot. And also it has the Virtual Console, which allows you to play old Nintendo games. But I guess the point of this topic is the value of backwards compatibility. And, okay, notwithstanding this generation where all three consoles have attempted it, before the only console that had it was the PS2. And before that, does anyone know? The Atari 7800. Other than that, all these other consoles have come out, all the Nintendo sequels, Genesis. Well, the Genesis had backwards compatibility, but you had to buy that power-based converter.
Yeah.
But by and large... You know, up until the PS2 or the 7800, their consoles never had it. And people kept buying consoles, so how important is it?
Yeah, I remember it was a big deal when the PS2 came out and it had the ability to play all the PS1 games. Everybody was just all, you know, up in arms and O4Tuna was playing and everybody was excited. But, I don't know, backwards compatibility to me, it's not... something that's central to making my decision on buying a gaming system. There's aspects of it that I would enjoy. Like right now, all I'm waiting for is for them to make the 2 X-Men Legends games from the Xbox backward compatible on the 360, and then I can sell my old Xbox to my wife's coworker with no regrets, and, you know, make a little money or whatever, or get some of my money back so I can burn it on something for the 360.
Game, yep.
So, you know, that's about all the more I have for it, but it's like, if I have to keep my old Xbox, I'll be fine with that. You've seen how many game systems.
Well, true. I mean, you have, what is it, like, at least 6 or 7 game systems hooked up to your TV.
Yeah, not including a few more that are in totes in the basement and everything else, so.
Yeah, and I tried to, what do we have downstairs? 2, like the Super Nintendo and the PS2, and I just pulled out the Nintendo like yesterday. Because we moved a couple of months ago, but I still unpacking some crap. I'm just saying maybe a lot of people don't want to have all the systems hooked up.
Yeah.
Personally, I mean, I think it'd be a lot easier just to, I mean, you buy the new system to play the new games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if, you know, why don't you just hook up both systems? Unless you live in a cardboard box, or in
Manhattan in your, you know,
or that like apartment that Corbin Dallas had in The Fifth Element. Yeah. Hell, even he'd have room for like 2 game systems. Maybe not a PS3; those are pretty big.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? I mean, look at the Wii and the GameCube; they're both very diminutive. I mean,
Yeah, it's not like they're space hogs. So,
and the value of a console isn't much when a new one comes out. So, what is the
It's probably the space concerns, a lot of it, and it's just something...
And the cabling, maybe? That might be even more than the space.
Yeah, and it's just another thing that the manufacturer can claim. You know, it's one more little thing the marketing department can put in their spiel. you know, like for the PS3, they were really gung-ho on this whole thing with backward compatibility. They were like, oh, you can play all your PS1 and all your PS2 games. Now we're finding out that's not quite true.
There's some titles.
There's some issues, and some of them are their most important titles, that, like their Final Fantasies and Gran Turismo games that don't work right on the PS3, I guess.
Well, they say that there's something called like a Sony design. Basically, if you follow the design handbook to the letter of how to make a PS2 game, it'll work.
Mm-hmm.
But the history of video consoles, the developers find all sorts of exploits and bugs in the hardware, and that's how they get a lot of the tricks to work.
Yeah,
it's been that way since the dawn of time. So that's probably...
That's probably part of the issue. Yeah.
Doesn't work. I mean, that's how they get the good graphics on the system. They basically trick the system into...
Yeah.
I mean, were it not for tricks in the Atari 2600, it would have died a quick death.
So it kind of backfired on them to some extent with that. I don't think it's going to, you know, all those people that were rushing out and sitting in line for days, I don't really think they care if it can play their PS2 games or not,
No.
I mean, I think it's one of those nice-to-have features. It's like the DVD.
Why would you even bother with PS1? I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's, you know, 10 years old or whatever it is now.
I haven't actively played a PS1. Well, okay, I mean...
I can't even remember the last time I played a PS1 game.
When I visit Mike, we always play Street Fighter Alpha 3. He's got like one of those little PS1s.
That would have been the last time I played a PS1 game, because I got one of the Street Fighter Alphas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they came out like 99.
Yeah.
So I probably play that every so often, but as far as like the last time I actively played a PS1, it was...
Yeah, it's been since before the PS2 for me, probably.
I think the last game I played at length was Driver, and that was... I think I played that in 2000.
Yeah.
That was pretty much it. So,
yeah. So
by the time I got a PS2, I didn't give a rat's ass.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a nice to have. It's, you know, not something I think that's going to, you know, make it or break it for most people when buying a game system, but it's a cool little feature to have.
Do you think these companies could, like Microsoft is probably the best one to bring up because they have to basically emulate it? Do you think they could spend their time better elsewhere? Do you think it's... to some extent a waste of time for any of these companies to...
Yeah, I don't know, because you go out and you look on forums and stuff, and there's people out there that are just ravenous, demanding for, you know, these certain games to be, you know, backward compatible. I mean, me, I want the X-Men Legends games, but I'm not out there, you know, banging a gavel on somebody's desk saying, you know, damn it, make these things backward compatible.
Well, these people that complain about these games being backwards compatible, they already obviously bought the new system.
Yeah.
So what does Microsoft care? Let's be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
They already got their money. I mean...
yeah.
And so. Any other company would be the same way. I mean, at least with the Wii, you know, you can play all 8 GameCube games on it for sure, I'm sure, because it's just an extension of the of the old chipset. But, yeah, I think it's kind of an overrated feature.
Yeah, I would agree.
The Game Boy Advance cartridge slot on the DS is cool. Because the Game Boy Advance games are pretty... they look pretty good and they're nice, but not on original Game Boy Advance hardware.
Yeah.
So DS, you know, it has 2 slots on it, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No.
The actual DS games look like an SD card.
Oh.
Yeah, they go on the top. They're pretty small.
Wow.
Yeah. So I guess I appreciate it for something like that, but...
Well, the thing is, for a lot of these games, you know, they come out with... they're usually games that have sequels and everything else, you know, and usually you're going to end up playing the sequel more. Like me, the X-Men Legends game's cool, but now they came out with Marvel Ultimate Alliance, and so that's one I've been playing. Someday I would probably get nostalgic and want to go back and play X-Men Legends again, but...
Yeah, it's probably not as valid. I mean, I'm just assuming that HD and Blu-ray players can play DVDs. That's the kind of thing that you'd want to have.
Yeah,
because no one wants to have
there.
2 players and have their TV, but with the game system...
Yeah, 95% of the time you're playing the current-gen games, whatever they are, so it's...
Right, and if you buy a PS3 or Xbox or Wii, you probably had the previous system.
Yeah.
I don't think people flip-flop their brand loyalty that much.
Yeah, it's kind of like cars, so...
Exactly, so... I don't know, I think companies might be wasting too much time on it. Personally.
Yeah. I would agree, I think.
Yeah, just make some good games or take care of the 3 lights of death or something first.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they do come up with cool little updates. Like, I noticed with my 360 after the last update where they added the 1080p thing, they added in now. Before, if your internet connection got disrupted or something while you were playing, you actually had to shut the system down and then bring it back up to reconnect to Xbox Live. Where now you just hit your Xbox button, and it says connect to live. You click it, and just bam, it hooks you right back up again. So that was a nice little subtle thing that didn't get advertised that they fixed, which is something that, you know, these developer people can work on those sorts of things if they're not dedicated to these other issues.
Well,
so.
We've discussed, we think Microsoft has probably just kind of given up the, thrown in the towel on BC, backwards compatibility. I mean, it's like, here's 200 games.
Yeah, you're good to go, yeah. And they hit most of the ones I cared about. It was just the X-Men ones, but that they didn't, but.
Yeah, I mean.
They hit some other cool ones, like the Battlefronts they got on there, which was good. They actually improved the graphics.
They're going to look at the sales chart and say, okay, this many titles at the top of the charts are the ones worth doing or that people care about, or the ones that are being played at Xbox Live.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's all done statistically because it's a company. All right, well, I think that'll probably just about do it for this strangely changed podcast. one of the big surprises was we weren't even going to have an intro.
Yeah, that's the other thing, yeah.
We were just going to start right out in the parking lot of Target, which I guess we did.
Yeah.
So, what can I say? Don't think we've quite picked the topic for our next podcast, but
we were talking about, like, the violence and the
legislation. Oh, that's going to be our Christmas special, the violence and gains.
So we got to save that one.
Yeah, I told you about that idea.
All right, sorry, everybody. You got to wait, like, a month for that one.
It's going to be the BenHeck.com podcast Christmas special regarding game violence. It'll make sense when you hear it.
Yes.
All right. Well, I guess we'll catch you next time. And thanks for continuing to listen. And sorry, this podcast wasn't all it was cracked up to be.
But if anybody out there has a Wii and you're in the Madison area and you'd like to hang out and let us try it out, shoot Ben an email. And
we're super cool.
Yeah. We're not complete jerks, so.
We have a deck. Okay, we'll catch y'all next time then.
All right.
Yep.
Happy trails.
Adios.